He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, that we are to be conformed to his image. You know, a little while ago, in the last few years, there was that bracelet thing that people kept on wearing. And what did it have on there? What would Jesus do? And maybe we need to think about that some more, especially me, because I find myself letting my flesh get the best. Someone asked me if my temper had gotten worse since I got older, and maybe it has. Maybe I don't have as much patience as I had when I was younger. So I need to be reminded, what would Jesus do? And a lot of times we are not reflecting his image. And we need to, the Bible says that we should be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So the first image is in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. But the thing that you have to remember is that this concept of image is all through the whole Bible, all the way to Revelations, which is what I'm going to show you tonight. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And I have taught, which may be different from what the general consensus is, that God made our souls all at the same time. At least that's what the scripture seems to indicate in Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them. Created he him, male and female, created he them. And if we go to Genesis chapter 5, I don't have it in here, but anyone got Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1? If you could read that for me. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1. Anyone? All right, let me see if I can. I probably should find it and read it because I have the mic. But let me find it and read it then so that it will go on the recording. When you want your Bible here, it disappears. Okay. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1 says, because it's important that I bring this point out. Let me find it here. Well, I would not win a Bible sword drill nowadays. I did one time. This is the book of the generations of Adam, and what it means there is mankind. In the day, now look what it says, in the day, and in the Hebrew, that word is yom. In the day, singular, that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them. So it would seem, if you read that scripture and also what I read in Genesis 1, that as far as the spirit part, we were all created in the same day. Although in a physical sense, Adam was the first incorporated soul or man. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And on Saturday, I was teaching at the Purpose Institute, and I was talking about the fact that we cannot, as human beings, in just our flesh, see God. The Bible says, no man at any time hath seen God. No man. But it's very careful in Scripture to say man. And it uses the Hebrew word for mortal man. But through the Spirit, we can see God. Because when we get the Spirit, it says, those that are led of the Spirit, to them gave he power to do what? Become the sons of God. And the Bible says that Jesus has revealed the nature of God to us in through Jesus Christ. So the first image that was created was really to be in the image of God. Now, what does Satan always do when he's trying to get at God? One of the things Satan does is to try and copy. He tries and come up with a counterfeit. Remember, overall, what I was talking about was deception. And One of the things, you go to the Pick and Save or the supermarket and you take out a $20 bill and it looks brand new and you give it to the clerk, what do? They hold it up, and then what else do they do? Yeah, they get a pen, they mark, because what they're trying to see is this the genuine thing? So remember now, we were created in God's image. And so Satan has always been trying to counterfeit whatever God does. Whatever God does, he tries to do. We see that in the Old Testament when Moses took his rod and threw it down and it became a serpent. Pharaoh wasn't too, surprised. He called his magicians to come, and they were able to do the same thing. They were able to do the same thing. That's why we have to be careful about running after miracles. Because there's going to be a group of people who said, didn't we do this miracle? Didn't we have this thing happen? And in fact, in the book of Revelations, we're going to see that it is in fact the miracles that are going to deceive people. It is the very fact that it's supernatural that is going to deceive people. And what we're going to find in the end times, that it's all about deception. So God made the first perfect image when he created Adam and Eve. Because we were created in his image, and his image is perfect. And the first image, of course, was the Spirit of God. The first image was the Spirit of God. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So the first image was of God. So Satan, as I've said, his whole thing is counterfeit. His whole thing is deception. And they had to change the design of the bills once photocopiers got so good. Because in the past, the original, if you went back 40, 50 years ago, the fineness of the lines was not too difficult for modern day computers to copy. That's why they had to redesign the $20 bill to put all kinds of things in it and watermarks, because of counterfeits. Satan is going to try and counterfeit the image of God. And we know that better as who? Antichrist. That's why I'm talking about image tonight, because that's what you're going to have to look out for. So Satan's plan has always been to control and counterfeit the image that God created. Romans chapter 1, verse 23. Listen to this scripture. It says, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. That's an interesting scripture. Romans chapter 1, verse 23, it says, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. In fact, this is so serious that God put it in the Ten Commandments. Right? Did you realize that? That this thing about the image was so serious with God, and God foresaw what Satan was going to do, that it is one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt make no what? Graven image or likeness. See, God knew immediately that Satan would try to counterfeit his image and then demand worship. Look at Genesis 3:5. He wanted to counterfeit what God had created. So he said, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. See, Satan will always be trying to deceive and to try and she probably wants the single sister, so I don't know if she can go through the gray door or not. But Satan will always be trying to deceive and come up with an image that's a false image. Now, all through history, that's what he's been trying to do. Starting with the first, after the flood, we have Nimrod. The Bible says that he was a mighty man, a hunter. But if you actually read the original translation, it was a hunter of men. And his name, Nimrod, means rebel. Rebel, that's what Nimrod means, a rebel. So we see that he was the first strong man, dictator, wanting to lord it over God's creation. And he built all these fenced cities. You find it in Genesis chapter 10 and 11. So Satan has always been trying to counterfeit the perfect and true image. And Down through the ages, he tried to destroy the possibility of there coming a second Son of God who would be the true image. Isn't that what the Bible says, that Jesus Christ is the express image of the invisible God? 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." It's amazing to me. You ever seen a magic trick? The whole point of a magic trick, the first pastor of the church in Benton Harbor, he used to have a children's crusade, and he would do magic tricks. Do you remember, Chris? He would do magic tricks, and that would catch the attention. All the kids would be right in the front trying to see what he would do. I don't know where he learned to do it, but he would start doing some tricks. And the main point of it is illusion and deception. See, you'd be looking at this hand while this hand is really doing the switcheroo. And that's exactly what Satan is trying to do to us all the time, in big ways and in little ways. He's making us look at our troubles and look at our things that we're going through instead of looking unto who? Jesus. And if he can do that, we'll be deceived. We'll be listening to the wrong voices, looking in the wrong direction. I remember when I first came here, and I grew up in England for the first 20 years, and they drive on a different side of the road. And I remember when I used to take the bus, just out of force of habit, I'd be looking the wrong way. I don't know why. And the bus would come up from behind me because I'm thinking, when the road was empty, it should be that way. See, the devil will take whatever direction we're going in and try and deceive us. He'll try and deceive us. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded. How do you think Satan blinds people? How does it work? Anyone? What it means is that people cannot see truth. If you're blind, what does that mean as far as being able to go anywhere? You're going in the wrong direction. It's very hard. If you knew that was straight and you closed your eyes, after a while you'd be off. You need to have your eyes open to see where you're going. It says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." Because Paul in another scripture says that it is obvious that there is a God, right? Psalms, what is it, 19 says what? "The heavens declare the glory of God." Just looking at a rose, looking at almost any part of God's creation, witnesses that there must be a God. And yet there are people can look at a watch or, at this thing here. This thing here took extremely high civilization to create. Do you know that? Go back 20 years. In fact, go back within my lifetime. They could not make this. They could not. When I first started doing engineering, you could not get screens bigger than one line. And they were green. They could not make a whole thing that has millions of pixels and cram it into that screen. They could, but yet, if you told someone this made itself, they would say, no, that's impossible. But take something that is even more sophisticated and complex than this. The smallest animal, the smallest piece of bacteria is more complex than this thing. And yet, because the God of this world hath blinded their eyes, they say, oh no, it just made itself. See, truth, the Bible says in Daniel, was cast to the ground. I'm looking at certain things, and you can see it's one color, and someone's saying, no, it's not. No, it's not. We can look at this, and what color would you say this is? Yellow. I think it's yellow. I say it's yellow. How do you argue with that? I say it's yellow. That's right. It's in the mind. Do you see what it says? That has blinded the mind. Oh, I went to the went on one page. That hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of this glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. What I'm trying to show you is that this image thing is key to understanding some of the things that are going to happen in the end times here. Right from Genesis 1:27 to Revelation, we'll see that there is a certain themes that are repeated, and one of them is the image. That's why in the Ten Commandments, the Bible says it was forbidden that you should do what? Make any graven image. They were not to make any kind of image of anything, four-footed beasts, anything at all. And the reason was because they would try and worship it. But we see something interesting in the book of Daniel. And tonight's lesson is more of an overview. I'm going to go back over this in much greater detail and point out some things between now and the end of the year. But this is an overview. King Nebuchadnezzar, at one point, ruled the then known world. He conquered the then known world, and he was an absolute ruler. And he had captured Israel, and he had taken all of them captive. He had taken the best of the young men, the princes, and brought them into his royal household for training so that he could have officers and people to work in his kingdom. And you know the story of him having the dream, and he couldn't remember. But this dream was supernatural. Anyone ever had a supernatural dream? Well, I know Chris has. Anyone else had a supernatural dream that they felt was supernatural? That? No? All right, let me read on. He had this dream that was supernatural. He said, "Thou, O king," and here's Daniel explaining it, because he could not remember, or he chose not to remember, because he wanted the interpretation. And to prove that they really could interpret it and not make it up, he told them, "You have to tell me the dream." And I use this a lot in my work, because as an engineer, people, the salespeople will come and say, "We want this product." And I'll say, "Fine, I can design the product. Tell me what you want." And they'll say, "Well, we don't know what we want, but we want this product." So at that point, I always say, "Well, that's Nebuchadnezzar's dream." See? And then they want to kill all the wise men because you can't actually tell them what they want. So I've used that example. And a few people have who know their Bible, when I said, I've said it in meetings. I said, "Well, that's Nebuchadnezzar's dream," and they all look at me. But one or two people I can tell know their Bible, and they say, "Okay, I understand." But you see, Nebuchadnezzar wanted his wise men and his engineers and whatever to tell him the interpretation, because this was a supernatural dream. Finally, Daniel was given the understanding of the vision. And now let's see. It's an image. Why did God choose an image? Let's look at this. "Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible." It was a very fierce-looking image. "This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, that were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces. Then was the iron and the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold, broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king." Then Daniel proceeds to tell him, "Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory." And verse 38, I think I've pointed it out before, is a very interesting verse. And it says, "Wheresoever." What does that mean, "wheresoever"? Means everywhere. "Wheresoever," no limitation, "the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold." Now, verse 38 is when it really starts to get supernatural. Because although Nebuchadnezzar ruled a large kingdom, it wasn't everywhere on the earth. It was everywhere that they knew of that time. But that doesn't mean it included every single one. But we see here that the interpretation is expanded beyond the physical man, Nebuchadnezzar. Look at this. It says, "Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory, and wheresoever." So what I have taught and what I'm teaching tonight is that at this point, what is being spoken here is not just to the physical man, Nebuchadnezzar, but it's to the power that was behind him. It's the power that was behind him. Now, if you remember in the book of Luke when Jesus was tempted by Satan, one of the temptations was, if thou be the Son of God, do what? Bow down and do what? And if you do, what will I give you? Kingdoms of this world. And why can I do that? Right. This is the reason you shouldn't get too excited about who's in power. This is the reason you shouldn't get too excited, but because it's not Jesus' kingdom yet. That's what he told Pilate. When he was before Pilate, he said, if this were my kingdom, well, if it's not Jesus' kingdom, then whose kingdom is it? Satan. So if he is the one who has the power and authority to give it to whom he may, I wouldn't be rejoicing about who wins elections necessarily. In fact, I'd be worried. What have they done? What would Jesus have had to do to fulfill what Satan asked him? What did he ask Jesus to do? Okay, so that's the criteria to rule the kingdoms. Bow down and worship. Bow down and worship. We'll get back to that. But we see that this is addressed to not just a human man, because Nebuchadnezzar didn't have power over the fowls of the heaven, did he? Not literally. This is speaking now to the person, the power that was really behind this, which is in the scripture called the King of Babylon. Let's look a little bit more. The real King of Babylon is spoken about in prophecy several times. Now, why does the Bible do that? Why doesn't it just come out and say what it means straight off? Why wasn't the Bible a lot more plain and understandable? Why does God shade some of the interpretations and use figurative speech and symbols? That's right. Jesus himself explained it in Matthew 13. He says it's not given to everyone to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And the reason is because we are in a war. We are in a war. Now, in a war, do you tell all your secrets? Do you tell how everything's going to in detail worked out? No. That's why Satan was totally shocked when Jesus came and died. Because he didn't want him to at the end. See, he had no idea. He has been outsmarted at every turn. Every single turn. Satan has been outsmarted. So we see here that the Bible speaks figuratively, and many times in the Old Testament, you can't see it. You can't use the Old Testament per se looking forward in detail, but you can always use it looking back to say, to validate. And that's what the Old Testament is. It is pattern. That's how it is. When you look at the Old Testament, something, it has a literal fulfillment that actually is a pattern of a future spiritual fulfillment. So we see here in Isaiah 14:3, it's speaking about this king of Babylon. And it shall come to pass in that day, the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve. This is Israel. And thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased. Now remember, Isaiah lived about 200 years before Nebuchadnezzar. So this prophecy was written at least 200 years before Nebuchadnezzar came along. It goes on to say, the Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of the rulers, he who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke. He that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted, and none hindereth. Now it's speaking about somebody that's more than just an ordinary human being, because it says who ruled the nations. It didn't just say this Syria or Egypt, it said the nations. So it's speaking about this spirit being that was behind the throne. Then it goes on to say, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground? This is a prophecy which didst weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pits. Now, I said to you that the Old Testament is like a pattern that has a literal fulfillment for a future spiritual fulfillment. So we see that in chapter 2 of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar had this dream about an image. So guess what he does? He builds an image. And the king made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, and breadth was thereof 6 cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. This is a pattern for a future fulfillment. Because what does the king do after he sets up the image? He commands everybody to worship the image. And if they don't, you're going to be killed. But this is so spectacular. Because again, the Bible is dropping little breadcrumbs. Because the Bible gives us some dimensions of the image. Can you see the dimensions of the image? Isn't it interesting? It's 70 cubits. What's 70? 60 and 6. There's a number missing there. There's a number missing there. He sets up an image, and the dimensions of the image is almost the same as the image in Revelation, but it has one digit less. I'm going to give you what I think is the reason. I'm going to give you the reason. So he sets this image up, and it's missing one dimension. It's a two-dimensional image. Now, we know in reality it must have had three dimensions, but for purposes of the Bible model that the Bible wanted to set up, it only gives two dimensions. You can't actually make anything that only has two dimensions, but this image is missing something. Can anyone think about what is it missing that we see in the book of Revelation where the third digit is given? The depth is missing, but what is the difference between this image and the image in Revelation where you have all three digits?
I believe in Revelation 13 it says that the dragon gave breath or gave life to the image.
That's right. This image couldn't speak or move. That's why it only has two of the three digits. Do you understand that Satan has been trying to come up with an image to duplicate the image that God first created? That's what I'm saying is the whole purpose. He tried to do it through Adam and Eve, and he partially succeeded. Then he tried to do it in Genesis 6, and he hasn't given up trying to make an image that can actually speak. This image looked like it was okay, but it was missing one of the digits. That's why it was only 60 and 6. Do you understand? This image could not speak. It could not be brought alive. But he still wanted worship. Everything in the Old Testament is a pattern of a future fulfillment. When you read the book of Daniel and you read some of the things, it's a pattern for something that's either going to happen or has happened. So when we see this, this is a pattern of what's going to happen in Revelation, except this time, the Bible says, as he quoted, the image is going to be able to speak. See, he has always been about counterfeit. Sister Mary, I know it's so hard to get up and... I'm sorry. We'll have to have you... Everybody sit at the front. That way they won't have to... Amen.
No, I was just going to say, the image, I mean, the numbers represent a man. That's all I was going to say, that the numbers represent a man. So we know that that image that's going to speak and give and have life will be that of a man.
Amen. One of the things it does represent is a man. Here is the scripture. Revelation 13, 18. Do you see the connection? Genesis 1, 27, God made man in his own image, and we see in Revelation that the number which is connected with the image is the number of a man. Satan wants to create a body. Revelation 13, 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now this time, you get all three digits, because the difference is that this image has been given power to speak. But it's the same command. You have to bow down and do what? Worship the image of the beast. Now, in Nebuchadnezzar's time, we find that the three Hebrew boys refused to do that. Now, we see that in the Old Testament, there was a cue. There was a cue. By a cue, I mean, you know, a trigger, an event. Yes. When they were to worship the beast. What was that? When every time you hear the harp, the sackbut, and the psaltery, music, that was the cue to bow down and worship the beast. Isn't that interesting? Every time you hear the music, that was when you were to bow down and worship the beast. I'm not going to go into that tonight because that's just interesting. But I believe that everything in the Old Testament, there is a reason for it. It's not there by chance. So we see that the full image that Satan's been trying to come up with gets fulfilled in Revelation. He had a tryout. He had a tryout during Nebuchadnezzar, right? He had a tryout. Now, I'm going to go back to the first image because I didn't go into something about the nations. As we know, that the medals represent five ruling empires. And that was literally fulfilled. Babylon was the gold head because he had absolute power. And when his kingdom fell, came the Medes and the Persians, which was Darius and Cyrus. And then after him, and the thing about all of these kingdoms were they were supernatural. They came to power supernaturally, almost overnight. It wasn't like some gradual thing. One kingdom fell, and the next night there was a new kingdom. Interesting when you see something so supernatural happen so quickly. For instance, Greece, the king of Greece was Alexander the Great, and he was only 22 years old. And in 6 years, he conquered everything that everybody else had conquered and went farther. He went as far as India. He went as far as to the borders of China, really, conquered northern India. And then he got sick and died. And then came the Romans. And they conquered supernaturally. Nobody could resist them once they came to power. Now, we see that in the literal fulfillment, these nations came and went. But we can see that behind these powers is a supernatural element, because in the book of Daniel, when the angel comes in chapter 9 to speak to him, he says, I was held up by the prince of Persia. But after them, the prince of Greece is going to come. That was written hundreds of years, 200 years before that happened. In fact, they denied that the book of Daniel could have been real because it was so precise, because after Persia came Alexander. Until they found the Dead Sea Scrolls and, you know, again, even when truth is presented, they don't want to believe the truth. So we see that the metals in this image represented literal kingdoms, but also spiritual powers. And although the literal kingdoms went, here's the point I'm trying to make. The spiritual powers behind them did not go away. When we get to the book of Revelation, you'll see that all of the kingdoms, the spiritual powers behind the kingdoms, are still around. They're still around. But they share power with the beast in Revelation for 1 hour. I'll get to that. Let me go on here. So we see that the power behind the image in Daniel was really Satan, which is also the power behind the image in Revelation. threescore cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. So we see that one of the digits was missing. And I believe the reason was because he couldn't get that third part. At that time, he could not make the image speak. But we see in Revelation the full accomplishment of Satan's plan in getting an image to speak. And isn't it amazing that God knew this was going to happen? That's why, starting from the Ten Commandments, I think it's the second or third commandment, says, thou shalt have no graven image. Thou shalt not make a graven image. Because God knew that that was always Satan's plan, to try and come up with a counterfeit creation. See, that image had no breadth, so to speak, or width, so to speak. Now, when we get to Revelation, there is a trinity of sorts. I call them the unholy trinity. And this is why people get confused. And we're going to do this more than once, so that I try and make it plain, because it is kind of tricky. So I'm just giving you an overview tonight. So in Revelation, there are several characters that appear on the scene. The first one is called the beast from the sea. And he's described with the body of a leopard and the head of a lion, and having 7 heads and 10 horns. And now the sea always represents peoples. So something that arises from the sea represents a people and a system and also a person. The second character that is mentioned that we're going to look at is called the beast from the earth. And this person, the Bible says, speaks like a lamb. Speaks like a lamb. He's going to come and be so gentle and peaceful. But he's called the false prophet. He's not the Antichrist, but he preaches for the Antichrist. He says, let's worship the beast. Then the third character, there's not really any disguising who this is. It's the dragon. The dragon. So these are three things that are mentioned in the book of Revelation. And we're going to just do an overview tonight, and then we're going to take them in a lot more detail and the theme of deception to come. So let's look at the beast from the sea. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns. Now, horns always represent power and authority. That's what the horns. And the 7 heads represent 7 nations. Sister Mary, dear. We see that the book of Joshua is a... You forgot what you were going to say? Amen. Thank you, Brother Chris. Amen.
Is this thing on? Okay, here we go.
I was just going to say, the 10 horns, I was just sitting here thinking about the 10 horns, or even the 10 crowns. Isn't the United Nations made up of 10 nations?
Well, originally, okay, it has grown. It has grown. I think now that the Security Council has more than 10. It definitely has more than 10, but it has what's known as 5 permanent members. That means they don't rotate. They're always on the council, and I think that's United States, China, Russia, France, and Britain. They're the 5 permanent members of the Security Council. The Security Council, I think, either got 10 or 15 members, but the other 10 members are not permanent. They stay for a year, and then they rotate out. So for anything to get approved in the United Nations, it has to be passed by the Security Council. Now, the 5 permanent members, United States, Britain, France, Russia, and China, can, with just one vote, veto anything from passing. So that means not much gets done unless they all agree. Agree. And the Bible says they agree to give their power to the beast. They have to agree. Interesting. Okay, so we see this beast coming out of the sea, or creature, and it has 7 heads and 10 horns. and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. So this is not a good creature. It is a negative image. The name of blasphemy. What could be the name of blasphemy? Any ideas? The name, you see, this class you're going to have to think too. The name of blasphemy. Think about it. Now, when that's mentioned in Scripture, Jesus had just cast out a demon, and the Pharisees said, you did it by the prince of by Beelzebub, right? And then that's when Jesus mentioned about this being blasphemy. But anyway, the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth, boy, this is a strange animal. It's kludged together. It's a mix match of different animals. And his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So we have this power, beast, creature coming out of the sea, coming out of peoples, and it is given power and great authority. So what is the beast from the sea? Okay, let us look. Revelation 12:3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, also having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns. So the great red dragon gave this beast, which is an image of the dragon. Do you see what I'm saying? Because if you look in Revelation 12, the dragon has the same stuff, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns. So the beast from the sea was something in his image. Am I confusing you? Let me go back. Revelation 13, a beast comes from the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 10 crowns. We see that the dragon is also described as having 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns. So if you hold up a mirror to the dragon, what you're seeing is the beast. Right. It's an image to the dragon, okay? And there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. So the beast is an image. It's not the same as the dragon, but it's a creation in his image. Just as how we are supposed to be the creation on earth in God's image. Remember what I said Satan is always trying to do. Counterfeit. We see that the beast that comes from is a counterfeit to the dragon. It's in his image. And there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was any place any more, found any more in heaven. And the dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. So who is going to worship the devil? Would you worship the devil? Somebody comes in here with a big tail, all red and scaly with horns. It's got to be something that is counterfeit, that is deceiving. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's obvious that his image that is on earth is what people are going to worship, the beast. But really, if you could see what the Bible is telling us, it's his image. It's got the 7 heads and the 10 horns and everything. It's a creation in his image. Because nobody in their right mind is going to want to worship Satan. So how are they going to worship him? Is because he is going to deceive them. So it's going to look like the image of God. It's going to be something that looks wholesome. It's going to be something that must be the truth. This is it. Here is Christ. Isn't that what it said? John said, don't go if they tell you here is Christ. There is Christ. So he was cast out into the earth. Sorry, called the devil, and which deceiveth the whole world. That's his trick. So the image, the beast that's coming out of the sea, is an image to him. And he was using that to deceive the whole world. So it's, as I said, there's an image of Satan, and it reflects a political entity. because it was given power and authority and a seat. It was given not just a little bit of authority. The Bible says great power, great authority. Now, if I say something here, I'm going to get in trouble. Well, it's going out over the internet. Which is the most powerful country in the world? No? Okay. Nobody knows? All right. And saw a beast rising out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. You see, it's an image to the dragon. But it didn't look exactly like the dragon. But it was really the dragon, or an image of the dragon, and it was enough to deceive people. Look at what the Bible says in 12:3. And appeared another wonder, something that was amazing. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns. It's an image to the beast. Image to the dragon, okay? All right, I'm going on. This is an overview. Revelation 13:4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Who's going to take on the beast? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That's 3.5 years or 1,260 days under the Jewish months. Interesting. Okay. Now let's deal with the other character. Then we're going to pull this all together. So we've covered the beast from the sea. The other character that's in Revelation is something called the false prophet. In fact, when John the Baptist came on the scene and the Pharisees came, they sent the high priest and the Pharisees sent to ask him, they asked him two questions. Are you that prophet? Or should we look for another? See, the Jews were expecting a prophet. Moses told them that the Lord was going to send them a prophet like unto me. But him you're going to listen to. Right? That's why a lot of these countries are set up for delusion. And beheld another beast coming up. This time it doesn't come out of the sea. It comes out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb. But again, he spake like the dragon. Again, it's another trick, an image. Revelation 13, verse 13. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And again, here's that word, deceiveth. Do you see how many times the Bible is referencing deception? And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And we'll get more into this. This is just an overview. See, in Acts chapter 3, verse 22, on the day of Pentecost, Peter was declaring who the true Messiah and prophet should be. In Acts 3:22, it says, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall he hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. So the Jews were expecting a prophet, just as how the Muslims are expecting a prophet. The Muslims are expecting Jesus to come back, but they believe he's going to tell all us Christians Muhammad is the right way to go. So everybody's expecting someone to come back. So this beast comes up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake like a dragon. I want to read a scripture in Acts. I didn't put it in here, but I just want to read this scripture in Acts chapter 1. And this is interesting. Acts chapter 1. This was when they were choosing, a replacement for Judas. When they were therefore come together, they asked of Jesus, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses, and I think Christopher preached about this, martyrs unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they stood looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come again in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Jumping down to verse 13 lists the disciples. Verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples, and said, The number of the names together are about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. He's reciting a prophecy, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue Al-Sidama, which is to say the field of blood, because the word D-A-M in Hebrew means blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, Let his habitation be desolate, let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. So we see that they start to choose someone else to replace Judas. Let me jump down to the place that I want. Verse 25 is an interesting verse. So they are praying, and they come up with two names. And in verse 25, they say that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. They speak about Judas going to his own place. Now, remember that Judas was at one point personally possessed by who? Satan, because it said that he entered into him. And it speaks about Judas as being the son of perdition. So he went to his own place. The one thing that Satan has not counterfeited yet is the resurrection. Right? Coming back from the dead. This beast comes up from where? The earth. What I'm trying to say to you is that this false prophet that speaks like a lamb is the fulfillment of the counterfeit of the resurrection. We shall see. Something that looked dead that came back to life. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles. Miracles. I notice that any time we get some of these faith healers come to town, Benny, whatever, and Peter, I wasn't going to name a name. See, we shouldn't run after miracles. Miracles should chase us. These signs shall follow them that believe, right? Isn't that what it says? So miracles should be chasing us. We should not be having to chase miracles. These signs shall follow. You should be living a victorious life. Not that you're not going to have suffering for Christ's gospel's sake, but you are going to be triumphant. Amen. So we've covered the beast from the sea, and the false prophet comes from the earth. And I believe that is a symbol of a resurrection. He's a religious leader. He speaks a lot like the lamb, but really, He's just an image of the dragon, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Okay, let me go on here. Now, it says in Revelation 16:13, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. This time and this age is going to be characterized by full-on demonic disturbance such as never was. And I tell you, we are seeing fulfillment, and we're going ho-hum. We're going ho-hum. Go back 20 years. Is everybody here older than 20? Well, not Ja'Cory, but. Okay. 20 years ago, how did they kill people? How would you execute people? Electric chair, gassing, lethal injection, hanging, firing squad, right? You cold? Firing squad. 2,000 years ago, though, the Bible predicted in Revelation that Christians would be what? Beheaded. 20 years ago, if you had said, how's that going to be fulfilled? Nobody does that. Nobody beheads people anymore. And yet we have Christians being beheaded in our day and age. If that shouldn't just wake you up and say, Revelation, and I saw the souls of them under the altar after the seal was opened, I think the fifth seal, who had been beheaded, right, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. What that tells me is that the abyss is being opened. There's going to be demonic activity such on a scale that never was. Never was. And we're just beginning to touch the beginning of this. And I saw, the proof of it, Revelation 16:13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. That means they leapt out. And out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. There you got the three unholy trinity right there. And that is what is going to energize and characterize this age. Revelation 13:14. Now, here we come up to the 666. Revelation 13:14. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Now, I'm going to jump down to verse 15. Here is where you get the other six. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar was able to make an image, but he could only make six. He could not make the image come to life. It only had the two dimensions. But in verse 15 of Revelation 13, it says, he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Same thing Nebuchadnezzar did. If you don't bow down and worship. But the triggering event there was what? Music. Whenever you hear the sound of the sackbut, the psaltery and the harp, wherever you are, time to worship the beast. Now, I don't know what the image of this beast is going to be. I can speculate because they're working on all kinds of stuff to change the nature of humanity. And there are many, many articles. This was one from quite a while now that they're taking DNA and splicing it in fact, they just made it legal in England now. They can take three people's DNA, and so the child that's going to be born has got three parents. They've replaced some of the DNA because they said it was defective with a third person. And so the child that's going to be born genetically will have three parents. See, they're creating stuff. The ability to engineer life is going to spark a revolution. This was an article that will dwarf the industrial and digital revolution, says Juan Esquivez, a writer, investor, and managing director of Excel Venture Management. Thanks to new genomic techniques, scientists have not only been able to read organisms' genomes, that's the DNA, faster than ever before, they can also write increasingly complex changes into these genomes, creating organisms with new capabilities, Superman, so to speak. Enriquez, who spoke to Technology Review MTech conference on Tuesday, says, our newfound ability to write the code of life will profoundly change the world as we know it because we can engineer our environment and ourselves. So you're going to make a new image that can speak. And if it's a Superman, why not worship me? I'm so much better than you. In fact, that's what Hitler believed. The superiority of the Aryan race. They were supermenschen, ubermen, supermen, so to speak. That's what uber means, super. And who do we have spouting that out lately? You have these alt-right people. I don't know if you saw it on the news yesterday about the right to rule, and they have been created to their destiny. We're living in the last days. See, Satan needs a body, and that's what he's been trying to get from the garden. God outfoxed him in the fact that we were going to turn to dust. But he will use whoever he can. The Bible says, who now, that spirit that now worketh in what? Children of disobedience. Luke 22:3. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number 12. See, he's going to need a lot of bodies to do his plan. He's going to need a lot of bodies. And he's not given up on trying to create. I'm almost out of time. I'm going to have to stop. This is just an overview because it's going to get more interesting. Revelation 9:2, the reason why he's going to need a lot of bodies is because the abyss is going to be opened. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now, although it's describing these as locusts and scorpions, what they are demonic entities. The proof of that is that when Jesus sent out his disciples, they came back rejoicing, right? I don't know if you can find that scripture. I should have tried. Sorry? Luke 10. If you could find that scripture for me and read it. Luke 10. They came back rejoicing because guess what? He gave them two things. Authority and power. Authority and power. Now, listen to what happens when they come back.
Luke 10, verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Amen.
Did you want me to stop there?
Go ahead.
Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
Amen. Do you see that Jesus clearly identified the scorpions with spirits? And he said that don't rejoice because you have power over them. But you see what happens here. So it's the abyss is opened and demonic possession on a scale that has never been seen before. And this is why people are not going to be able to call for help, because when you're possessed, you're not in control. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. That means it's so important in this time to be filled with the Spirit, because that's the only thing that's going to stop possession that is going to be happening on a scale that never was seen before. I'm going to skip to the last one. Jesus himself said so. Then goeth he and taketh with him himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, speaking about possession, And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of the man is worse than the first. And Jesus says, even so, he's predicting, even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. He's speaking about the last generation, that that's what's going to happen, that there is going to be wholesale possession. That's why we need to be sealed with the Spirit. If you could stand with me, we will be continuing more of this, and I will try and make it plainer and put all the strings together and tie it off nicely. I know all we did tonight was kind of point out the different characters, if you could remember that there are three of them. The beast from the sea with the seven heads and the 10 horns and the 10 crowns, which is a reflection of the dragon, which has seven heads and 10 horns. And then we see the beast from the earth, which speaks like a lamb, but exercises the same power and wants everyone to worship the image to the beast, which was given the power to speak. We will be continuing this. But all of these things are tied with one word. That word is deception. Jesus said many times, be not deceived. That's what's going to be happening on this earth, because lies are going to come forth and people are going to believe it. Jesus said, if another come in his name, they're going to believe that. Amen. But what we want is this verse. Revelation 22:4, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Jesus in John 17:6 says, I have manifested thy name. See, we have a name that is above every other name, which thou gavest to me out of the world. They, thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. We need to be sealed. And even if you are sealed, make your calling and election sure. This is the time to pray. This is the time to seek God. This is the time to come to church more than ever, to hit those doors whenever it's open, to witness, amen, because we are in this season. I'm about as sure of it as I can be. You see, the thing about prophecy is the people on which the prophecy is being fulfilled always miss it. They never see it. We can see it when looking back. We say, man, how could they have not seen that this was the Messiah? He was born in Bethlehem. He did everything that the prophecies said, and yet they missed it. So what I'm trying to tell you is that the prophecies are being fulfilled round about us right now. And like the five wise virgins, most of the church is asleep. They're going crazy. Yes, peace in our time. We're going to have a new great America. Going to make America great again. As if all the thousands of prophecy that said that perilous times shall come and evil men and seducers are going to do what? Get better? Are going to do what? Wax worse? That's what the prophecy says. I'm sorry, but it's not about making America great again. It's about preaching the gospel to the whole world. This gospel of the kingdom must be preached to the whole world. Then shall the end come. There's not going to be a kingdom of America. I know that's terrible to say, but that's, if you believe what the Bible says, there's only going to be one kingdom, and it belongs to Christ. It's going to be the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord, and he shall reign. He shall reign. But I can see that many, many Christians are already deceived. It's not going to get better. Not unless the Bible is wrong. But he has promised to the Philadelphian church that I can keep you from the hour of tribulation that is going to come to try the whole world. We want to be the Philadelphian church. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. If you have just a little strength, I'm going to place before you an open door that no man shutteth and no man can open it unless I open it. And I'm going to keep you from the hour of tribulation that is going to come to try the whole world. It's time for us to really pray. Really pray. And make our calling and election sure, because in a time that we think not, that's when he's going to come. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your word tonight.